Garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates eating people? Dead people coming back to life? People turning into weeds, for Christ's sake? I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first spooktacular episode of the season here at DWN Productions, THC podcast sponsored by Fast Custom Shirts here at boygob.com. Joe, I've had a not great couple days, just failing at work. How have you been?
I managed to meet the deadlines that I had this week. How? I don't fucking know. But got more
fuck
shit.
Fuck you, Joe!
Yeah, I should have been in the shop today, but did a little partying last night. Lisa had her fair party, which was a good time, but then I woke up with the intention of going to work, but I cracked open a beer. And
why'd you crack open a beer when you woke up, Joe?
I don't know. I don't know. Because I'm an alcoholic. I don't know. I just was drinking the day away. But then at some point during the day, my body said, nah, that's enough. You're done. And I just couldn't drink anymore. So I converted to full pure water.
Well, I think the bigger question is are you suffering from the coronavirus again because you're back in the COVID den?
I am sequestered back in the COVID room, but not because of that. It's because Lisa fell asleep in the living room. So she's crashed in the couch, and I didn't want to wake her up or anything. So
you couldn't pick her up and bring her to the bed?
Nah. You know, her and Skylar look kind of comfortable, so I'll leave them there. For now, I'll go get them afterwards, or I'll just crash out on the floor over there. I don't fucking know.
Just pull up the dog bed. Fuck it.
That's true. It's pretty comfy.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, I'm pretty tired.
Me too. Yeah. And I still got to go back to work.
If I don't seem enthusiastic this episode, that's why, because I'm really fucking tired.
Hey, me too.
All right.
Let's see if I could speed drink again.
Enthusiasm free this episode is.
All right, hold on.
All right, speed drinking.
Yeah, it's hard. I took a shot of tequila after a whole day of failing at a sculpture. Like, I just couldn't fucking get it for the last 3 days. I just can't fucking get it. Hopeful about tomorrow, though. But, like, after literally the whole day of working on it, I just had to step away, take a shot, wrap it up for tomorrow, and just work on something else.
Yeah.
Sucks. But it's going to be one of those that I have to finish it. So when I do finish it, it's going to be one of those. I'm like, yeah, I got it done. Or it's going to be like, I hope they like it. So we'll see. But luckily, Tyler came over to the shop today and did a lot of painting for me. So I appreciate that. It afforded me the opportunity to fail for a third day in a row on that sculpture. So,
well, fourth time is the charm, they say.
Like the pictures I got sent look nothing like the thing from the movie. Like nothing. But the movie is like an old VHS print. So the best pictures I have are screenshots that I can only view the best on the TV in the shop, and there's only two of them. And the print wasn't great. So it's like really shitty blown up VHS screen grabs. And, you know, don't blame your tools. I understand.
Yeah.
But fuck. I just want to get this thing done, damn it. Well, I hope so. You all right? What the fuck are you looking at, you bug-eyed fuck?
I can't find my glasses either. That's another thing that's going on today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I didn't do it a whole lot of reading today.
That's good.
Yeah. In fact, haven't been doing a whole lot of reading or watching anything. I got two things to talk about.
All right, I got one.
All right, well, okay, so wow, that's a rarity. But yeah, I watched Metal, A Headbanger's Journey, and it's just this guy interviewing people and tracing the roots of heavy metal and exploring the different subgenres and shit. And it's really good if you're into metal. He covers a lot of bands. He talks to Lemmy from Motorhead. He talks to Ronnie James Dio, the fucking epitome of metal. Talks to a bunch of other fucking assholes. I don't know. It's a decent... No, it's really good. What I'm saying, I'm so fucking tired. It's a really good documentary. I liked it. They said this guy did... that he has a YouTube channel where he does like a lot more of this shit. But I don't watch YouTube shit. So, you know, I'm not a fucking kid. In fact, you shouldn't even be watching this on YouTube, you fucks. You should listen to it, because that's what podcasts are. They're for listening.
With boygob.com.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question about Metal, A Headbanger's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Did they interview, like, talking heads, quote-unquote celebrities, or was it just fans of the music?
They interviewed some fans, too. Like, they went to Wacken, which is, like, one of the biggest metal festivals in the world that's in Germany. And they talked to a lot of people there. You know, that was, you know, just people fucking being metalheads, I guess. Throwing horns and shit. Talking to... I don't know.
Was our boy in it?
No. They talked to, like, some of those parent groups, you know, that are trying to ban everything. They talked to some of them. You know, they covered like when they had the Senate hearing committees and they were trying to just fucking put labels on everything, which they did, you know? So I don't know. I don't fucking
label know. Makers were pretty popular in the 90s.
They were. Yeah. Explicit lyrics, Tom, explicit lyrics. Which was always a selling point, you know, that I think the fucking record companies manufactured that shit.
Well, I'll look for the neon black review of this one.
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
Just put out a new one for Tales of Halloween that I was in the middle of listening to, and then I realized, Shazam, I gotta get to the computer and do my own. So I'm here now. I'm over here now.
You know, giving that guy shit, but he's probably got more listeners or viewers than we ever will. So, you know, he's doing his thing. You know, good for him. He's
we're about the same. But he labels them, like he'll do a review and say, blah, 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 blah review, like you see that I put up right there. So when it searches on YouTube, like his stuff will come up.
Yeah.
Because he labeled it properly. Now, DWN's terrible or a word someone's never heard. Boy, God, what Boy, the God. Fuck? Yeah. I'll never search that.
You probably don't want to. I've never done it. I don't know.
See, if I had the time to, like, cut out the reviews from the videos, then I could just post those as, like, fucking Hellraiser 3 review, and then we'll have, like, 83 people. But no, I don't have time. If any of you guys want to, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, that's work, man. Fuck that.
Yep. I got sculptures to fail on. I don't have time to chop up videos and what have you. So, would recommend highly?
Yeah, I would. It's definitely one of the better things I watched this year, but it's not from this year. It's from like 2012 or some shit.
Well, yeah, I guess if Lemmy was alive.
But he's not. Neither is Dio. Probably anybody else he talked to. I don't know.
The one guy who jumped off a bridge.
Yeah, after listening to Judas Priest or something.
It was weird. He was in this documentary, and then he was in the documentary The Bridge. It's funny how that works out.
Never watched that one.
You like people jumping off bridges?
Not particularly, no.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll like that documentary then.
Okay.
It's okay, though, if you like people jumping off bridges.
What was the one thing you watched?
Well, it took, I don't know, pardon me, it took about a year and a half, maybe a little more, to get back into the theater. The last thing I saw in theater was H.P. Lovecraft's Underwater. And the first thing I seen post-pandemic, even though we're still in it, I guess, was Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, I went in fucking knowing I wasn't going to like. Spoiler alert, it sucks. But, I mean, the first one sucks. But I don't know. I didn't even know it was coming out already. Like, reviews for it were popping up on my YouTube feed. So I was just like, oh, shit. I guess I got to go see this pile of fuck. And I did. Instead of, like, again, the relationship in Eddie and Brock. Eddie and Venom, it really sucks. It's like a playful buddy relationship, but it really turns out that Venom's gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, it was a joke in the first one. It's like, is this a gay thing? But this one's like, oh no, it is. Venom goes to a rave. Like, he's not on Eddie, he's just on some other guy, and he goes to a rave, and he's like all drunk and fucked up. He says, this is my coming out of the Eddie closet party and shit, and thanks everybody for accepting him. And if that's the way you want to fucking go with your movies, okay. It's just, it's really weird. I think they should have went darker with it like they originally planned and did it like more of a drug addict story, kind of like Brain Damage, where, you know, they need each other. Not just the alien loves this man. Like, there's no scary repercussions that, like, the scary thing that would happen that when Venom left Eddie is, oh no, now Carnage is after me, and he has a symbiote, and I can't protect myself. he's not like going through withdrawals, and you know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a very piss poor choice that they made with these fucking Venom movies.
Did they do Carnage comedic too, or
you know, I was talking to Tyler today and he's just like, so how did Carnage look? I was just like, it was all right. And then I thought about it. I was like, wait a minute. He was probably like two times the size he should have been. And then he had what looked like Dr. Octopus tendrils coming out of him. And in the scene, he literally turned into a tornado. Like a literal tornado in a prison. He just starts spinning around and watch out, mister. Here comes the twister.
So just like the comics then, huh?
Just like the comics then. I mean, if you like Woody Harrelson, you'll like his performance as Carnage, or I guess as Cletus.
Cletus.
For a PG-13 movie, they did it okay, but that's really the only good thing I could say about it. Like, the movie was really bad, and I wasn't even paying attention that the fucking cop that they're setting up is supposed to be Toxin. Like, the cop looks like he dies, and then his eyes glow blue, like Celine from Underworld. And I was just like, who the fuck is this motherfucker supposed to be? Like, you see his badge, it says Milligan and shit, but I'm not putting anything together because I'm just watching this movie like, oh, fuck. Because it's bad. It's not a good movie.
So how was the movie going experience after a year and a half? What kind of changes are in the theater?
So all the people who worked there were wearing masks and shit. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't looking around like, oh, shit, no one's wearing masks. Oh, fuck. I'm still in the mode. It's like, all right, this motherfucker's getting up. Where he's going? Is he coming back with a fucking gun? I'm still on that shit from fucking years ago. So, I mean, it's that. The trailers got me. Like, I was feeling shit when I was watching these trailers that I wouldn't feel if I've been still going to the movies for fucking the 2 years or whatever. It was just nice to see these well-made trailers for shit you don't even care about. Like, I'm not going to go see Eternals, but I was just like, oh, shit, that's nice and well put together for something I will never see.
I noticed, like, everything that's coming out I could give a fuck about. Like, it's like they're not even trying, really, to make fucking good movies right now.
And with Spider-Man, you'll be about that shit.
Maybe.
It's got your boy in it, Dr. Octopus.
Oh, that's right. He's coming back from the dead or some shit. But that's common for comics, you know?
All right, spoiler alert. Turn your shit down for a second or so. I'll go like this when you can come back. But seriously, leave now if you don't want to be spoiled. But the post-credit scene is Eddie and Venom together in a hotel room watching... what the fuck are they? They're watching some Spanish sitcom or what are they called? Novellas? Telenovelas? They're watching one of those things and then like the multiverse blip thing happens and then they get transferred to the MCU universe and they see Spider-Boy on the TV with J. Jonah Jameson. Like, oh, Peter Parker's Spider-Man. And then Venom goes up to fucking Spider-Boy unmasked on the TV and just licks the screen. So this particular Venom is now going to be in the MCU, or is. So, I mean, I guess that's something. Sony's bringing more characters into Disney's universe. So there's that, I guess, but... Oh boy, is this rendition of Venom lousy.
But you got a new Eminem song out of it, right?
You know, it was Eminem and other people. And it was like a more singy, like a song you would sing, like a man and a woman. Or I don't know if a man and a woman would, this would be their song, but like maybe kids nowadays. It sounded more like a love song than it would like a rap. This is a weird movie. Like
the whole, fit the tone of the movie then, right?
Yeah. It's a
love story.
Yes. This is a wacky gay buddy sci-fi something. Their choices with Venom, this series of movies is very, very weird. Just very weird. And none of it's good. Woody Harrelson was okay, but they should have kept him in that goofy fucking wig from the end of the first movie. They didn't, but man, just a lot of why are you doing it this way? And fuck, it wasn't even disappointment because I knew what the fuck it was going to be going in. I didn't even watch any of the trailers because I didn't give a fuck. It was just, well, it's out. You got to go see it now, fat boy. This ain't streaming anywhere, you fucking idiot. So, I mean, we went. I guess Lori was happy she got a pretzel for the first time in however long. So there was that. And we did go to the first showing on that screen, so it was only like $5 a ticket. So there was that. But there was people there. Poor bastards. Yeah, man, this started out and this was going to be a R-rated dark horror movie. And now Eddie Brock's jumping in fucking lobster tanks and sucking the dick of an alien man. Or Eddie's not gay, but Venom is. So I would have to think when he's sleeping or something. Weird, very weird decisions with this. I don't know. I definitely would have went like the drug addict route, codependent. Like he needs a host and he needs the power that the symbiote gives him. And now he just loves him. Fuck.
Well, I also watched some Spider-Man. I watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Good-looking flick. The animation is superb. It's top-notch. there's all kinds of shit going on. The little interludes they do with the origin stories, that's done really well. But the story in itself, I thought was kind of lame. You know, it's kind of weak, kind of like just the same old shit, and didn't really give a fuck. I thought they made Peter Porker like really stupid Spider-Ham. You know, they were playing him off like a Looney Tunes character, which I thought was real fucking dumb. Spider-Gwen, was she a real comic character before this came out, or is this a result of that? Or, okay. I didn't know shit about her. The Kingpin was done really fucking weird.
You didn't feel anything when fucking Kingpin Gorilla Press, or not Gorilla Press, but just Gorilla Mitted fucking Spider-Man to death. And then it was just like, oh shit. He really just killed him like a fucking gorilla.
No. I thought the Prowler was cooler here than he's ever been in the comic, you know, but still, like, what an odd choice. Let's throw the Prowler in there and fucking Tombstone, you know, and Chick Doc Ock. You know? And, you know, I get it. It's an alternate universe or whatever, but still, it's like some of the shit was just like really fucking lame to me. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to hear your racism speak.
And Yeah, Spider-Man Noir. I don't know.
Yeah, I could go without fucking Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Ham, Penny Parker. And if there was another one, but I thought the three core were cool. And then, like, quote unquote, our universe Spider-Man getting transformed and helping train Miles and shit. I thought that was cool.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like all of a sudden Miles knows how to do everything. Like, he can jump around and fucking, like, he'd been training for a day. You know, they still had him, like, not know how to just, like, flip around and, you know, swing on your fucking spider webs or whatever. I wasn't buying it, Tom. I mean,
spiders, you know, it's like a natural instinct. They know how to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's a natural instinct.
They do. They know how to turn invisible, you know.
I mean, that is one of his specific, like, that. The only thing I know about fucking half black, half Puerto Rican Spider-Mans is everything from this movie. So, I mean, I guess he has like a electrocution stinger move he can do.
Yeah.
And he can go invisible like reptile and shit. But I thought it was good. They made me give a fuck about a character I really didn't give a fuck about.
And that little end piece I thought was cool, where they flash back to the 1967 cartoon. The one with the real, real shitty animation.
Oh, yeah, and they're all pointing at each other and shit.
Yeah, yeah. And J. Jonah Jameson was in there, too.
He was.
Yeah.
Then they set up What's-His-Nuts.
Because I was about to get pissed that he wasn't in the movie. You know, it's like, okay, they threw him in as an afterthought.
Yeah. I like it, Joe. I think you're just a little hard on animation.
Like I said, I like the animation, but nah. I'm hard on superhero movies for sure. You know, that's
I would consider it the best Spider-Man movie we have so far.
I'd still say number two.
That's what I would think of number two as well. Mm-hmm. It's shit. Except for your boy Joey Diaz, he's in it.
Yeah, little Joey D.
Oh, so what else did you watch, Joe?
That is it. That's all I watched.
Is that a fact?
It could be. Or I could be trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
Are you?
Let you know at the end of the show.
Coming up next. I looked up a picture of old Don. Holy shit. He's all teeth, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's all teeth and a mustache.
This show is very forgettable.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I can say. It's like as soon as it's over, like I forgot what the segments were about.
You know? Yeah.
And already we've only watched three episodes and they're all kind of running into each other. You know, it's like. But, you know, it's more of the same, you know, some lame acting, some fucking unbelievable stories.
Or are they believable?
Well, I think I fucking got them all wrong this time.
when I noticed this one, I mean, James or Josh Brolin, whichever the fuck one he is, sure he looks confused and not sure what he's doing. But I think his fucking dark-ass eyebrows and white-ass hair, it just makes him look a little more off.
Used. Yeah. I'm just glad he didn't drink that soda that was actually rocks. You know?
I thought that was liquor.
Could have been. On the rocks. I get it. I get it, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember any of the segments.
Well, I couldn't either. So I looked him up before we recorded.
Yeah, and I just watched this Wednesday or something.
So this isn't going to help, but I'm going to say the name of the segment.
Okay.
And you're going to see if you can remember which one it is.
All right.
All right. The first one is called The Prophecy.
No.
This one should have been called The Ouija Board, or if that was taken, The Spirit Board.
All right. Yeah, the big-ass spirit board. Like the oversized fucking Ouija board.
With the CGI smog cloud at the end.
This is another one where, hey, she was never seen again. You know, it's like, okay.
So what happened in this one, Joe?
They bring a spirit board.
Who do? A bunch of hoes?
Some hoes. They start spirit boarding, and then there's footsteps up in the attic or upstairs or whatever, and it's the ghost of Mr. Boogity or something. I don't remember what his name was.
It was the bride of.
Yeah. And the girls get scared. They throw the fucking spirit board in the fireplace. But it's there the next day. It's there still, like burnt, charred a little.
But it's still there.
Yeah, it's still usable. And I guess, I don't remember. There's a fucking spirit. He comes and, I don't know, the girl disappears or some shit. I don't remember.
The CGI smoke cloud comes out, and that's supposed to be the ghosty
Mr. Boogity.
So, Joe,
mm-hmm.
Did this really happen?
I think I said no.
Well, that's right. Okay. Even though, going by how the show does things, it could have been right. I mean, people have used a Ouija board before.
It's true.
So they could have said, it's fact.
Mm-hmm.
Did a whole bunch of looking around. The next one, you'll remember this one by the name. You know, we're going to do something a little different with this one. It's going to be funny, but it's still scary. This is a tale I like to call. This is a story I like to call The Couch Potato.
Oh, yeah. So this is a guy that was in love with his television. And his wife, tired of making
sandwich on him. Fucking bitch. This shit didn't happen. That fat bitch wouldn't drop that sandwich.
So one day he has a heart attack and like falls into the TV. And the TV like shocks him back to life or some shit.
The end. His wife still leaves him. Right. She's like all sad, crying. Oh, don't die on me. Oh, don't die on me. Damn it. And then he comes back to life and she leaves him still. Mm-hmm.
I think I said this one was bullshit too.
That's right. It's a bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting him right so far. This next story I like to call Love Over the Counter.
I don't remember this one.
Because I don't know what that title has to do with shit. But this is the one where the lady's getting fucking stock tips from her dead husband.
From her husband, yeah. And the other guy had been like embezzling funds or some shit. Insider trading or some shit. Yeah, it's just like, oh, the paper is folded in half. It's just the letter in there. I guess I should sell.
Oh, my next is going to be that it's just glowing on the page a little bit. This shit, watching it this time, it was like, are they trying to make Goosebumps for adults? Yes. That is exactly what they were doing, because this came out, I think, the same year as the Goosebumps show. They're like, oh, we're having success with this. And it was Fox, so.
Yeah.
So, Joe, did this really happen?
I think I said no. I think I said no to all of them.
Well, I think the rule of this show is three are definitely supposed to be fact. From what I remember. Like, the last time I fucking went through and watched this, I looked up a bunch of shit about it. But I think every episode, three are supposed to be fact. So this one was true, Joe. She was really getting stock tips from her dead husband. It was proven by science, you fucking asshole. Yes, the story about this lady making millions of dollars from fucking dancing on graves.
She danced on a grave?
What? Oh, shit, I never want to watch that movie again. And then remember that fucking asshole showed up in Blade 3?
Mm-hmm.
Dickhead. This is a story I like to call The Imaginary Friend.
I don't remember this one.
With the little girl?
The little girl. And this one just kind of ended. You know, this one just like, it didn't go anywhere. She just had an imaginary friend. That's it.
Whoever says you're getting a divorce, don't make things up. Oh, no, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, don't pick that phone up. Your sister's dead. Oh, my God.
And go I forgot check on what... the sick baby or some shit.
Yeah, her friend that was... Mm-hmm. And I think there was one more at the end that was supposed to be like, oh. But like you said, I forget what that actually was.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, Joe, going with what she said,
like, you can live in the drawer.
Oh, that's right. She can't just talk put to her your away. Imaginary
friend anymore. So yeah. You can live in the drawer.
She just put her in the drawer next to the Bible that you'd fucking keep there if you were in a hotel room.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I said it was bullshit.
Well, it really happened.
It did. It really happened. She put her in the drawer.
No, it was because kids had imaginary friends. No, it really was. She had imaginary friends she put in a drawer. Like an Indian in the cupboard.
In a cupboard,
And our final tale for tonight is one that I already forgot what the fuck it was about, so I hope you remember. And this was a chilling tale entitled The Last Man on Earth.
No, I don't remember this one.
All right, let's... What? Why the fuck? I do remember this. Why the fuck was it called The Last Man on Earth? It was the fucking one with the radio... Hey, baby, meet me at the pier.
And oh, then, yeah. Like,
seven other people with the same names all showed up.
Yeah, this was a little romance story. A couple that hates each other. They're throwing shit at each other. They split up. And then the radio says, hey, meet me here. You know, I miss you. You know, we need to give this another chance. But it was like two people with the exact same names that made that fucking request or whatever. I don't know.
You knew this was written by like some guy who was pissed off about his divorce but really wanted to get back with her because the lady was like, she was fucking had a date with that guy in the old age makeup from the Six Flags commercials.
Yeah, that was funny.
And then the fucking dude was just with a fucking straight up hooker.
Yeah, that chick just wanted to blow him. And he's like, yeah, I think let's call it a night. Yeah.
But why this was called The Last Man on Earth, I don't fucking know. But it was. So how did you do tonight? Did we trick you?
I said this one was bullshit too.
Well, Joe, it really happened. This one time, a guy was listening to a radio.
This one time, this couple got a divorce and got back together.
Episode 4 next week.
All right. But this week, we were introduced to a new villain in Spider-Man's. This is the Schemer, is his name. And take over the Kingpin's territory using guerrilla warfare tactics. And the thing with the Schemer, what makes him a special villain is he's got a desk.
But not just any desk.
Fuck no. This desk is all rigged up with like guns and like it can crush you from the top. You know, like if you lay on the desk, it could like fucking like another part of the desk will fucking come from the top and then crush you, maybe. Unless you're Spider-Man's and you know how to get out of that. This is a fucking lame ass villain. This guy.
Are you saying this villain who I've never heard about ever before ever is lame?
He's got a desk. That's his fucking weapon, is his desk. And he wears a cape. I don't know why. But yeah.
He's one of the only fucking Marvel characters who was not a space character to wear a cape.
We get this interlude too with the Kingpin. Like there's a newspaper article that his son is dead. Died in the Alps or something. And I don't know. I think his son like came back later and became the Rose, who was a foil for the Kingpin. He was trying to dismantle the Kingpin's empire from the inside, but it was his son. But anyway, that goes nowhere. Maybe next week it will. Flash is finally going back to fucking Vietnam. And both Gwen and Mary Jane make out with him before he leaves. Kind of odd. And then a truck or a van falls on Spider-Man's and Gwen. But he
pushes her out of the way.
Yeah, he's worried about revealing his secret identity when he should be worried about saving his girlfriend's life. But who fucking knows? I don't know. She's had it up to here with him, man. She's done. She's done. Until next issue. This fucking lame. This was like a really lame issue. Even the cover, it's like they didn't give a fuck about it. It's just like, nah, let's just get this issue out.
Yeah, it's what you would come to expect from Amazing Spider-Man up to this point.
Not a good comic. I don't know how it achieved such success. You know, we've talked about this a whole lot already. So
no, I guess that gimmick of him being a teenager really stuck with people.
I guess. But he's not a teenager anymore. You know, he's in college and selling pics of Spider-Man's.
You could be a teenager in college.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Not for so long, but unless you're one of those smart pricks. Yeah.
We haven't seen him go to school in a few issues, so he's probably fucking kicked out by now. I don't know.
It's because Stan Lee's been taking us to school with his fantastic writing abilities.
His social commentary about the Vietnam War. Fuck Stan Lee.
Speaking of social commentaries about the Vietnam War, Joe, you like lists?
I do. Even lists that we've done before.
I don't think we have.
I think so.
I think we've done songs from movies.
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, this is our top 10 soundtracks. Movie soundtracks. I don't know. for honorable mention, I have Superman, the movie. John Williams, one of the only scores he's done that I really, really liked. Then I've got The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The score to this is fucking outstanding. Then I have Eddie and the Cruisers, which is a great film. Are you fucking frozen, Tom?
Yep, we're back. Let's run down these and have a very short episode.
Okay. All right. So, again, Superman. Then I've got The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Then I have Eddie and the Cruisers. Then I have Savage Streets. A lot of songs on that one that I like. And then I have Tenacious D because it's got Ronnie James Dio in it. And the Pick of Destiny is what it's called.
For my honorable mentions, I have Race War the Remake. And then I have Tales from the Hood featuring that Spice One classic, Born to Die. And then I have Paddington because Shine's a banger. And then I have the Spawn soundtrack. The only song I can remember is that Marilyn Manson shit, Long, Long Road Out of Hell. No way I'd ever listen to that shit now. But I had the CD and Beavis and Butthead Do America. Again, wouldn't listen to that now, but I had the CD. That's the Cenobite from Hellraiser 3, for all you people who don't know what a CD is. He used to dress up like a lady.
I didn't even number these. So I'm just going to go down the list. But my number 10, I have Thief. That's the Tangerine Dream score, which I like most of their shit. But this one is in particular. Or it came to mind anyway.
I have Big Money Hustlers.
My number 9, I have Suspiria with the Goblin soundtrack, score, whatever. This is not a movie I particularly like, but the music is really good.
Joe, It's a Hard Night, and that's one of the songs from Dusk Till Dawn. Number 9.
It is.
Number 8.
I have Contamination. This is another Goblin scored.
You love Goblin.
This is one of their best ones. This is one that nobody fucking talks about or listens to. I still got a CD from it. I don't think I have it on vinyl, but damn, it's some good music.
Team America. World Police. Fuck yeah. I would say that is the most novelty out of my list.
I have Mission Quest with I forgot who's in this movie. Matthew Modine. He's like fucking wrestling in college. But the soundtrack has Hungry for Heaven, James Dio.
What are we at?
I don't know.
7.
7.
Your favorite. With the Real Big Fish. Basketball. Number 6.
I have Iron Eagle. The Lou Gossett Jr. classic that also has Ronnie James Dio on the soundtrack.
I have the soundtrack I would drive around listening to and get weird, confused stares at from Mexican folks. And this is the Machete soundtrack. Number 5.
I have Star Trek, the motion picture, with that iconic Jerry Goldsmith score that they went ahead and used on the Next Generation show and a whole bunch of other shit.
How did that one go?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just go to a high school football game. You'll probably hear it.
Number 5, I have Orgasmo with the great songs from DVDA, including Twisted Steel, Leather Donut, and Now You're a Man. Number 4.
I have Phantasm. I think the music in this is fucking outstanding. I don't even remember who did it. I've got the record, but quick music for a horror movie. It's fucking great.
Just a sitting here at midnight.
Oh, Reggie.
And I'll be sitting here till noon. Since my baby left me.
Boom, 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 boom.
My baby left me blue. Oh, come on. You're such a kidder. You remember that scene?
I do.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're drinking Dos Equis and shit.
On the porch.
Like a couple of...
friends.
Yep. Number four. Sin City. The soundtrack from the motion picture. When I ever want to feel like I'm a tough guy, I put on the Sin City jacket. I mean soundtrack. What? I put on the Sin City the jacket. What the
fuck? You have a jacket?
It's my Marv cosplay. Number three.
Assault on Precinct 13. It's another one of the John Carpenter scores that nobody talks about, but I think is the best one.
My number three, The Human Tornado. Number two.
My number two, From Dusk Till Dawn.
It's a hard night.
Yep.
My number two is Planet Terror with two R's. Number one, this is it, Joe.
My number one, I have the Muppet Movie.
So, what was the big song from the Muppet Movie, if you don't mind me asking?
What the fuck's it called?
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's the one he's singing like right at the beginning. He's all happy in his like little swamp, you know, sitting on a lily pad playing the little guitar. You know, why are there so many songs about rainbows? You know, that one. Okay. Tom, you're number one.
Mortal Kombat.
It's a good one.
It's the best one, Joe.
I've got that record, too.
It's the best one. All right, Paul Williams and the Rainbow Connection. What are we doing fucking next week there,
bro? I haven't even thought about it. I'd say let's... our top 10 comic book monsters.
Comic book monsters. Stan Lee, number one. I had a great joke that I'm not going to say. So, hey, everybody. Hope you liked this very what it was episode. We're both tired old men, and we also talked about Venom 2, so there's our other excuse.
Keeping it topical.
You can go to dwnproductions.net and order something if you want. You won't get it for Halloween, but you'll get it sometime for sure.
You can go to same thing for Fast Custom Shirts. If you're ordering a 4X especially, I don't know when you're getting your shit because I can't find any for going on a month now.
Fucking pricks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Boy God.
Oh.